All right. It is a Monday morning and we are ready to go and we are ready to keep you company for the rest of your day today. And among other cool things that we have, none other than the great Kurt Darren. It's looking actually fitter and younger than anybody I've seen for as long as the gap between the last time I saw you and now is. So I don't know what you're doing. There's some kind of magic, some voodoo going on here. Look at the guy. He's looking good. Hey, Kurt, how the hell are you, man?
I'm lucky, man.
It's called what?
A young wife and young kids.
That's a big part of it, right?
No, of course it is.
And you can't get old because you got kids and you have to play soccer with them and all sort of shit.
And they all keep me young. My wife as well, you know. Full of adventures.
You're looking good.
They kind of don't know what's going to happen around the next corner kind of thing. In other words, where are we going next week?
Because you're so busy.
No, but not only that. Sometimes I just take them along. Like she found out last week she's going to Australia with me in August.
That sounds a bit abusive.
No, it's not. Come on. It's adventure.
Yeah, and listen. Listen, bitch.
And to be honest with you,
we're going to France.
I live a life where... Yeah, I don't stress. I really don't. Obviously, everyone stresses in a certain kind of way. But I mean, the kind of way I've structured my life with music and everything, I don't stress.
That's the key. You just told us the key now.
Yeah.
That's power, man.
So
how do you not? Because for most people who are listening to this now, they go, please, man, it's impossible. How do you not stress?
So I'm in music. So everyone's always wondering, when's the next big hit? When's the next, you know, what's he going to do next? Big show, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I kind of really just compete against my last CD kind of thing. I don't really see what's going on out there. I'm always aware.
Sure.
I'm aware of Beyonce's new track. I'm aware of a Bartu new track, whoever. You know, I'm always aware of that. But I don't try and compete against that. But I just try and create my own trends. And I've been doing that for... 30 years. I recorded my first CD in 95. So I'm chilled.
Your Precious Love in 1995.
Yeah.
And then only in 99, when you started writing your own songs, you really started to break into the South African music business. And I mean, ever since then, you've written a couple of songs and you've performed these songs a couple of times where it's occurred to me that you've got way beyond what most people could wish to achieve in a music career because there's an anthemic value to those. I mean, like Kaptein, you know? Mm-hmm. When you hear that, you just think, yes, that's not part of South Africa.
Mm.
That's part of the culture.
Yeah, it's a blessing, I tell you something.
It's a big deal, man.
Yeah, but you know, when we write, and when we write, we envision the people in front of us. That's exactly what you do. You know, we don't write just for ourselves. I like writing a great melody. I was brought up, my parents brought me up on Eagles and that kind of stuff. So I love great harmonies and I love great melodies. And I listen to different kinds of music. Everyone always says to me, when you're alone, what kind of music do you listen to? I can't even define that because I'll listen to whatever music I'm in the mood for. And it's the only criteria is a great melody. Something can just like make you relax.
I agree with you. I'm so pleased you said that, and you're a musician. When I say it, nobody listens to me. But a great melody is the most amazing thing on the planet.
Mm.
It's still, I've told you a million times, Leanne, the only thing I'm jealous of is people who can write music.
Mm.
And to write music, you have to write a good melody.
Yeah, I think that's the basis of it all, you know. And if you want to bring a message across, and different people are different. You know, you get politician singers. You get singers that just want to make you feel better in the morning traffic. You get all those different kinds of things, you know. And I've just always kind of written that I don't pigeonhole myself, you know, I've been asked to write a Blue Bull anthem and I've been asked to write a Stormers anthem.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked to appear at different political rallies and all that kind of stuff. But I never want to kind of alienate anyone kind of thing. So my music must be accessible for everyone. And I think you can see it when I do the different kind of things I do. They'll play at the Rugby World Cup. They'll play at the cricket.
Yeah, you've also done collaborations with so many different artists that no one can really pigeonhole you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is talking about this Beyonce album at the moment because she's done country music.
Yeah.
She did a terrible, terrible cover of Jolene.
I haven't even heard that.
When you've listened to it, I want to hear what you think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what bothers me about it is that she's gone and taken a friend of mine pointed this out to me. I didn't even know. She's taken that brilliant song, Jolene. And I mean, Dolly Parton is unbelievable, right? Yeah. I mean, first of all, the most prolific writer and such a genius musician. And someone who understands the art of it. Like, the whole story of Jolene is a story almost any woman can relate to. You know how it goes? It's like, you know, there's this woman who is making moves on her man and she's deeply insecure and desperate and it's eating her up. And she eventually has to tell this woman, just leave, please leave my man. I love him more than you know. And if you take him away from me, my life's over. And
I've actually sent someone a WhatsApp to that effect.
Really? Yes. So you, then every woman understands this, even Leanne Moll.
Yeah.
And what she's done, and God bless, you know, Beyonce for doing some country. I think that's great. And you know, as we said, you've done so many different genres of music. But here we are with her going into it. And somehow, I don't know if someone advised her to do this or she chose to do it herself, but she's made it all about how she's this awesome queen who doesn't really give a shit about. It's like lost the message completely.
Okay.
You almost want, especially because we know Beyonce is like all the single ladies and like, you know, I don't need no man kind of stuff. It would have been unbelievable to hear her being vulnerable like that.
And because, humble.
What an opportunity missed,
But Beyonce is completely incapable of humility.
Yeah.
She's just got not a shred of it in her. She's fairly uncreative. Most of her songs haven't been written by her.
Yeah.
So it just, again, I think here's a woman who's not artistically matured in however many, 25, 30 years that she's been in the business.
Yeah.
And then you will go and perform songs that other people have written, but you'll give it life. I mean, I've been to parties where they're only black people and they'll play your cover of
Hambanawe.
And I'll think, wow, you know, this is quite fucking weird.
Yeah. And I've only done that, you know, in 30 albums, I've only done that probably about 10 times.
But it's worked.
As in 10 songs, as in like, if I really love a song, I'd want to, and I promise you, I've written over 95% of my music, as in that has been released. But that other 5% are songs that really, I mean, I was busy with a signing session, I think at the Carousel, still existed. And I was busy with the signing session after a show, and they were playing, to my market, the DJ was playing music, and he started playing this Indie Hambanawe. And I was like, oh, my mother, what song? Like this is like amazing. And I could feel it. I could see the people were feeling it. And I thought, wow. And then I wrote to them. I asked them permission. I said, can I do this in Afrikaans? And they were so cool. I actually performed the song with them the other day at a function just for the fun of it.
They called me up in their key. I've seen you perform with them.
Yeah. I just have fun. I just love what music, how music makes people feel. And that's what I try and portray.
So is there still the same kind of thrill that you've always had for it? I mean, performing has to have a massive high, right? Because you're up there, even if it's like a smallish, and for you a smallish crowd is still thousands of people.
Yeah.
But you still get a thrill out of it, and you still love it. And when you release a new song, and you're doing this all the time, every 3 months you release a new single.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's that. So everyone asks, what's your favorite part? So, I mean, for us to write a song, and when I say us, I mean a guy called Adams Kleinans, who's been writing me for a very long time. Sometimes I've written with other people, but I will come with a melody and an idea and kind of the structure where I want to go, sing into my phone. Sometimes I wake up out of a dream, I promise you.
Yeah.
I wake up out of a dream. I've got this melody in my head, and I force myself away because I've missed out so many times of melodies that I thought, okay, that is so good, I'll remember in the morning. And I go sing it to my phone. I promise you. And I wake up and I go sing it to my phone. I send it to Adamst. We get together for a day or two and we write. We did it last. I got off a ship. I was on a cruise last week till last week, Wednesday. And my wife and kids flew home.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I can't fly yet. I got an idea because the studio's in Cape Town. The Thursday morning, I got together with them.
Yeah.
My producer and Ernst in Noordhoek.
Yeah.
Which can be quite an inspirational place.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. In Noordhoek. And we got together and we wrote the basis of a song in the morning. My producer started constructing it. I had to leave the studios at 3 o'clock to catch my flight back at 5 from Cape Town International. And 2:15, I did my lead vocals on the song. And that song, I'll get the mix later today.
Oh, my gosh.
How crazy is that?
It's amazing, man. I
love it. It's like...
I would love that so much, that feeling of accomplishment when you've written a song, especially if it's a really great song that people will remember the melody,
yeah,
that they sing back to you. That isn't just one of those songs, but it's one of the great songs.
Oh, man, I tell you, it's the most amazing feeling when you've written something and you got these voices in the crowd singing back at you those words that you've created. You know, it's amazing, you know. And I mean, yeah, you know, it's the same as you guys, you know. Everyone's got their own talents, no matter what you do, you know. And I mean, I was at the dentist the other day and I said to the woman, I said, I don't think you quite realize how you can change lives. I think it's amazing what you guys do in your special field, you know. And then they sent me the bill and I'm like, is that all they charge? I promise you. It's like weird.
You think that actually, you know, when you have a sore tooth or something's really wrong.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get at.
Your whole life is screwed.
Oh, man.
You would pay any amount of money to get back to being healthy. You can't sing if you've got a sore tooth.
No, and you can be as big and fit as you want to be. If you've got a sore tooth, it's going to bug you. My tooth actually chipped in the bush. And that when your tongue keeps on...
scraping against
irritating. Yeah. And so my whole jaw was swollen, kind of thing.
Probably an abscess.
And that's when I said to her, listen, I think you should be paid more. But it's in like anyone, you know.
Well, don't say that, because the rest of us don't want to pay her more.
Yeah, I know. There's just, yeah.
All right, listen to this. Gijs Brits says, my sister lives in Abu Dhabi. They went to Kurt's show when he performed in the UAE. It was nice to see such a big crowd attending, and that in a foreign country. So you've performed all over the world.
Yeah, that was last year. We did the Hard Rock Cafe there, which is set up for big concerts. It was amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, full of expats and all their new friends kind of thing. That's so it was awesome. Very, very cool. And we kind of broke the place down because I don't think they were expecting to sell so much brandy and stuff. But it was lekker. It was really awesome. And then, this year I'm in Australia for two and a half weeks, 9th to the 21st of August. I'm in London. I'm in Holland, so I'm all over the place. Man. Yeah. Apart from all the lekker shows we do, yeah.
Well, M says, nothing better than to sing along to Kaptein after a night out in Malta and feeling a bit homesick.
Ah, beautiful.
That's lovely,
yeah,
right?
That's amazing.
Azalea says, Kurt's a national treasure. Mm. No, you see, people just love you, dude.
No, I appreciate it.
That's fantastic. The amount of double brandies I have drunk listening to Kurt Darren. Hambanawe was on my Rugby World Cup playlist as we drove through France, says Tia.
Wow. No, that's amazing, eh? Yeah. I remember in France, I was there for the World Cup for the Irish game, and I'd gotten to the stadium about 4 hours early for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And the rugby shirt, I didn't even know I had a rugby jersey. I promise you, I didn't. I thought maybe through the years. But I'd never bought a rugby jersey. So my wife had secretly packed in this jersey. She knew.
You're going to need this.
Yeah, I packed my own clothes, but she had packed this in under my clothes. And I found this at my hotel. But she had made one fatal error, because the only rugby jersey I'd ever received had my name on the back.
Oh, no.
So walking through Paris on the way to the Irish Ireland game with a couple of friends.
Kurt Darren.
It said Kurt.
Oh,
it's all it said. Okay. Kurt. But I had a jacket on because it was cold. France was cold.
But also, who's not going to recognize?
No. But I thought, no, this will be fine. Jacket.
Yeah.
And then I took my jacket off when it got a bit hot, and then it was funny in those streets. You had security guys like the French security, they're walking around with big megaphones, trying to direct human traffic to the stadium and away from the pubs and to the pubs and all that kind of stuff. And then someone spotted that, and they took their phone and they took the Austin security guy, could use the phone, and they started playing Kaptein into the megaphone.
Oh my gosh.
And then I went and sang on the megaphone. Listen, what a joy. Nah, okay.
You know, a lot of people I've met over the years have had very, very nice things to say about you, and very seldom have I ever heard anyone say anything nasty. You obviously get along with a lot of other musicians too. It also occurs to me that you have a pretty damn good reputation. Like, you are not the kind of person who would say, no, I'm not going to sing through the megaphone. Mm. You're like always up for a fun thing. You don't take yourself super seriously. No. I think you take your career seriously.
Yeah.
And you what you do, you take very seriously. But you're not, it's not like all about you all the time. And you're happy to laugh and have fun with people. And it's not like, oh, you know, this is a serious, serious musician who doesn't find anything else amusing.
Look, you must be prepared when you start life as a pop singer or you're making pop music. Mm. You must be prepared that sometimes you are going to be a bit of a gimmick to some people. Yeah. But I will allow it to a certain extent. Don't make fun of me. You know, there was a, I remember there was a radio station quite a few years back and they were having this show. It wasn't an Afrikaans radio station. It was an English radio station. They decided to have this Afrikaans festival because it was the in thing. And they got me in to interview me and they were like, when I got into the studio and I was talking like I'm talking to you now, they started talking to me on purpose, like slowly. What do you I thought, are you undermining me now? And you're undermining a whole culture. I think it's just stupid, you know? And then I kind of said that to them.
Good.
I said to them, don't ever judge a book by its cover because, or anyone, you know, anyone on the street or anything, because I think it could get back to you in a very negative way.
Mm.
And I actually pulled out of that show.
Good.
Because I was just like, I just said, sorry, guys, it's not for me, you know.
Yeah, good.
If you guys have called me here for the wrong reason. But I've had other shows where you come on and they want to have a bit of fun and you go with it because it's not harmful. It's fun, you know. And if you are on a public platform, you know, just be prepared for anything. Yeah. Anything to come your way and you can just handle it.
Here's a nice comment too. Gail says, 2009, Kurt played volleyball with me and my friends on a cruise. We were fangirling all over the place. See, that's the kind of thing we do.
Yeah, but volleyball, probably on an island.
We have some funny things in this country. Afrikaans culture, I mean, the number of times I've been called a soti, and I'm like, actually, I've got Afrikaans family, but don't worry, I'm not. If it makes you feel better to separate people, that's cool. Do you get trouble from people because you're not English, you're not Afrikaans, you're South African. You're not tribal about it. Like
no,
some people are.
No, I'm not at all. I'm a South African singer, completely, and in my body and everything about me is South African. But I'm not. I will once again not be pigeonholed, and I sing in English and Afrikaans. Obviously, mostly Afrikaans because that's what I write a lot of English stuff as well, but the Afrikaans pop thing is my thing, the medley and everything.
And that crowd. If they love you, support you.
They are so loyal. Yeah. You have no idea. Just don't let them down, I think, in any culture.
Give credit where it's due. Yeah. They are tremendously loyal. And they also, they spend money on music.
They do.
Where a lot of people have found ways of not spending money on music.
They do. And every weekend is a festival somewhere along the line, you know. But, you know, I've found now in the last few years, it's changed completely to 20 years ago when I was in that. People don't try and go at me anymore. They kind of go, he's okay now.
I think
cool.
you're an established part of
it. So I don't need to prove anything anymore, you know? And I don't need to I will stand up for any culture. I really will. I'm weird in that way. But I won't let anyone down my culture, which is Afrikaans.
What, is it too loud for you, Leanne?
No.
Oh, you unplugged.
I stood on it.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing.
Stood on her cable.
I think you're in one of these. Yeah, underneath. Trying to help this poor woman. She's completely useless. Here's an interesting comment, though, and I think it relates to what you were saying now. Gareth says, I think that is what a lot of black people in this country feel when white people mimic their English accents. It's very uncomfortable. And if they were like trying to mock you, but they might not have realized they were mocking you. Obviously, you can decide you're going to react to that badly or happily. But you've got to be aware of these things, right? And this is a very – I don't think South Africans are super sensitive about things. We're actually very chilled. We have a good sense of humor.
Best ever,
We are. We really are. We're not
only sensitive when other countries come for us.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you seen these – incidents on TikTok where an American comedian will say something about South Africa. You'd swear that this person had, you know, committed murder the way South Africa comes for them, everyone, doesn't matter what sort of culture you are. It's like, leave our South Africa alone. You cannot criticize.
Yeah, I saw the coloureds getting upset when some American like race hustler, like activist, activist type was going, you can't use the word coloured. It's offensive. And like all the coloureds.
The coloureds are like,
we got to say coloureds whenever we want to.
Yeah.
Proudly coloured, yeah.
I think the main thing is our sense of humour. I mean, you travel over the world. I mean, I'm talking about Australia now. I love Australia and I love New Zealand, actually. But they look the same as us. They actually dress the same as us. They got the same kind of style, everything. But they don't have the same sense of humour, I feel. It's like the weirdest thing. But South African sense of humour right across the world is – if you walk in the subway in London and you're in a full carriage and you see two people talking, you must know they're South African.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because nobody talks.
Yeah, the rest have got headphones on. Right. They're South African.
They're trained to ignore each other.
Yeah.
You've done 5 different movies. Or you've appeared in 5.
I'm on 7 now. Yeah.
7 movies.
Yeah, I had a new one that came out about 2 months ago.
You've been a presenter on CakeNet and on Jacaranda. So you've done a little bit of radio and TV as well. And as far as I can tell, you were very good at both. The movie thing and the fact that we have like an industry in television in this country, like CakeNet especially, I always give them credit. They commission lots of local productions that generates the opportunity for talent, which a lot of other places in the world are not doing. And again, you got to give credit to the Afrikaans community because they watch these shows.
Yeah.
So do you enjoy that stuff enough to take it seriously or is it just a fun side thing?
Look, whatever I do, I'm going to try and do to the best of my ability. If you tell me to go and play a cricket game or a rugby game, I'm going to be able to do it. But I'm not going to be able to do it like Siya Kolisi plays rugby. But I'm going to be able to play rugby. And I love being capable in those things. So in the movie business, I actually produced the last movie. I was a co-producer on my last movie.
Ah, what was that?
# love my selfie. It was shot in a ship.
Oh, but you do a lot of these ship things.
Yeah, that's my business. You know, I've got Super Events, my wife and I. So we've got Super Events.
Tell me about that. We do cruises. Get back to the movies.
Yeah, look, I've been cruising since 1992 was my first cruise with MSC Cruises in South Africa in 1992. And so I had trade-offs with them. So I've been all over the world. In other words, they'll say, Kurt, can you come sing on this and this date on this and this cruise? And I would go and sing on the cruise. And they would that was in the era of Starlight Cruises, and send me to the Maldives or send me to South America or send me on a Caribbean trip or whatever, you know, as payment. And then about 12 years ago, they approached me, MSC Cruises, and said, listen, no one knows the cruises better than you know how cruises work and kind of how you must structure your shows, because the cruise also has shows on at the same time, all that kind of stuff. Would you mind making your business cruising, like events and cruises? So I do the kids and teens cruise.
Awesome.
Out of Durban in December. I think that's on the 13th of December. Then I do the Super Soccer cruise, the Kroner cruise, and I'm a partner in the Bokboot.
That's bloody amazing.
I love the names.
So, I mean, Captain gets a fair amount of airplay there.
Captain plays on every single cruise. And no, that's not my thing. That's the cruise thing.
Kurt, I have been one of my top 3 parties I've ever had was on a cruise once. I remember it was like the day after we'd been to some island, and it was that day. That night we had a party. It started at, I don't know, 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Ended at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah, because the ship, if you're on Portuguese Island, which I think Gareth's talking about now.
I think that's the one,
If you're on Portuguese Island, the ship stays anchored and only leaves at like 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. So when it stays anchored, all those guys have their turn now to party, but they're not feeling seasick or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the ship is stable. So Gareth was part of that trip.
Listen, I had such I promise you, it was one of the best parties I've ever had. I was DJing, but I was having such a And people, it's a funny thing, like when they're on the ocean, they just, it's a different energy. There's something that happens there. So it's cool also that you can attract people to these things. Probably a lot of people would never have gone on a cruise if they hadn't known about it from you.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no. Look, I mean, I it's a culture, the cruising culture, but it's like, it's such fun. You must remember, When you're on a cruise, there's no load shedding.
That's the thing.
There's no traffic.
There's a feeling of safety.
Yeah.
You
just got to walk back to your cabin.
Yeah.
That's kind of where you got to go to. But the rest of the ship is there for you, kind of thing. So I'm not punting cruising. I'm just saying it is a great trip, and it's a nice, safe way to have a holiday, and it's a great family holiday.
What do you think about this 9-month round the world cruise?
Well,
would you ever do something like that?
That's a long way off for me to do a 9-month round the world cruise.
And it is for very old people.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you get it. You must know your
not
company.
Not necessarily this one.
Please, Leanne, you're already thinking.
I'm following. There's a whole TikTok gang that's part of this.
Yeah.
They've all, you know, either started their own TikTok accounts, or they've, you know, just gone onto their accounts, and there are a lot of young people as well, just on this 9-month cruise, and they've sent a few celebrities on TikTok, celebrities, social media celebrities, not for the full 9 months, but for like 2 weeks or whatever. And I'm following the whole story. I mean, I know who's who, what status they've got on the ship.
9 months, if for you to be able to do that, to put your whole life on hold for 9 months, so you either have lots of money. And no responsibilities.
Look, they had to pay a lot, but so much is included. Your flights are included, for example. There's a lot.
Okay. But the one difference in that and the local cruise is that the local South African cruise is you're going to stop at a different port basically every night.
Yeah.
So that's quite lucky. When you're stopping at Dubrovnik and the next, you know, you're in Malta.
They went to Antarctica.
Yeah, no. So I mean, they'll have a whole itinerary set up, and I don't think they'll duplicate anything. So they're going to visit all these countries all over the world. You can hop on and hop off.
Yes.
In certain – so you can go on for 2 weeks in that part of the cruise, but there will be a certain segment that's going to be on for the whole 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pregnancy. The whole
that's
a hell of a long time.
You weren't allowed to go on it if you were pregnant. Yeah, but the food, that's the problem.
I would be terrified.
They ran out of wine at one stage, and they were between Antarctica and Africa.
Oh my God.
For instance, that I mean, they just,
I think what Kurt means though is you eat a lot.
Oh yeah.
Oh my mother.
If you, unless you're very disciplined, you're going to the gym every day.
They feed you like 7 times a day, you know. Yeah. If you're doing midnight buffets, you're doing every single tea, and then everything is off a menu if you're not doing the buffet. It's crazy. But MSC Cruises has been a pioneer. I mean, they've been doing it for 30 years in South Africa.
Yeah.
They know their stuff.
So they know their stuff, and they know exactly how to plan these little itineraries. They know whether it's going to be a 2-day or a 4-day or a week kind of thing. And they know what works for South African cruises.
So I got to know you a little bit when we did Idols together for a couple of episodes. I think you were like a guest judge.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless you actually have, because for me, most of the people in entertainment, unless I'm working with them, we don't really hang out together.
No.
I mean, you're always touring around the country or the world.
Yeah.
You've always got – it's not like I'm going to phone up Kurt and say, let's have a bribe. But if we're working on a show together, we'll spend some time together. And I remember us laughing a lot about some of the stuff that was going on in the entertainment business in South Africa generally and all that kind of thing. Do you have real friends in the business?
Yeah, Gareth, it's funny you say it because like when I see like someone like Gareth, it feels like I saw him like last week.
Mm.
That's kind of just sometimes a relationship you have with people. But in the entertainment business, I can be honest with you, you know, we see each other so often at different festivals. I mean, like all the time. And there's obviously different, but the entertainment business is only so small.
Yeah.
You only got like probably about 30 artists rock really in the mainstream that'll be at every festival kind of thing. So then you will rub shoulders with them. But I do have a couple of friends every now and then that would come to my house for a bribe, but not a lot. I've got amazing friends. I've got a great friendship circle. My wife always comments on it. Like a friend of mine opened a place in Nelspruit the other day, and four of us just jumped on a plane and went to go support him for the opening.
That's
So we do that kind of thing for each other. It's amazing.
Sure, that is very cool.
Yeah, and none of them in the entertainment business. None of them. So I don't think doctors are going to hang with doctors and doctors and doctors. Maybe yeah. people I studied with will yes, become friends for life.
As students, yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
It's so true.
Obviously, there's, you know, the entertainment business has a number of advantages. You can make a lot of money. You can do a lot of different things. People want to get to know. You get tickets to this and, you know, you're invited to that and all that kind of thing. What's your favorite thing to spend money on and to spend time on when you're not doing the work?
Yeah, it's so funny you mention that. I had a wedding this weekend of a very good friend of mine. And I'd known it was his wedding for quite a while. But it was in Brits.
Oh, yeah.
It was in Brits in a beautiful, beautiful venue.
Uh-huh.
But for the first time, and this is going to sound so weird to some people, but it's just people invite us to places, to lodges and whatever. Sure. And they want us just to write about it. Well, they just want to treat us and say thank you for the music and whatever, you know. And I don't take advantage of that. I don't. But it happens when I do get an off time, it happens. And I had actually go and book accommodation.
Oh, yes.
You haven't done that in ages.
It was so weird for me. And I said to my wife, like, I don't understand. Okay. And it like felt expensive to me. Yeah. And she said, and it wasn't like such an expensive place. It was a nice place, but it wasn't like a place I'd go to every weekend or holiday. But we had a book place in near Brits in this like resort.
Yeah.
And we booked it and it was like so weird.
I mean, we can totally identify from, you know, going to absolutely every concert for free and it was automatically VIP. And then suddenly an artist comes, it's not supported by the radio station.
And you really want to watch.
And you really want to watch and you've got to buy a ticket and it's like, shit, that's like expensive.
Spoiled.
And also
spoiled.
I'm like sitting at the back of the stadium.
And this is an interesting one for you too because you get a bit jaded.
Yeah.
I had to think very hard the other day about I was invited to a concert. And I thought, you know, this is obviously it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
I'll probably get free parking and they'll pay for everything and I'll get a really good seat. And I was still going, what I do. And it sounds horrible because there's some people who will save for like 3 months of their salary to go and see this artist from overseas. And I'm like umming and ahhing about it. But – you know, for you, performing on that stage, you know what that feels like, which is like 10 times more exciting than watching your favorite artist perform. But there's also the fact that you get this, that happens to you all the time.
Mm.
It's like every weekend you're doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to remember that the people in the crowd are, for them, this may be the highlight of their month, their year, whatever, who knows, you know? Yeah. And they're seeing someone that they absolutely love up there. You can't become like a miserable asshole about
No, you stuff. Can't because the next day will bring you straight back down to earth. I remember now on the ship, on this last cruise, so this class of ship that came here, the Splendida, MSC Splendida had a yacht club. So the yacht club is a ship within a ship.
Mm.
So it had a certain thing. The cabins are probably 4 times the normal price of a cabin, but you got your own butler, you got your own bar, your own restaurant, everything. You're part of the yacht club, and the yacht club, you get a yacht club key for your room, which is a card, key card for your room, and the lifts all over the ship. There's only certain lifts that you have to put your yacht club key card in, and and only the yacht club people can go in there.
Oh.
Yes.
So now we're standing.
I've learned this from that fancy world cruise, that 9 month cruise.
Now my son is with me. Oh, man, out of the mouths of babes. My son is with me. We had just come from, I can't remember where we were. I was on the deck doing something. And we're standing for these lifts, and now there's a crowd of people standing for the lifts.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just goes, Papa, sit your car to the yacht club. Thy lift is net for all. So I'm like, oh, my mother. Hey, just keep quiet, please.
Oh, yeah, Papa's shit.
And it was like,
and then
he's 7.
Oh,
and then I just put my, I did. He took my card and put in the yacht club thing. And my lift came. I just let everyone come with me to the yacht club lift. And said, come with us.
Oh, man.
And then the next day, when my wife and kids are on the way to the airport,
yeah.
I just remember I went and wrote the song on the Thursday, the Wednesday we got off the ship. So the Wednesday, after I'd seen them off, I took a taxi to Hout Bay and I went and stayed with a friend of mine, Art Matthews.
Yes, we know Art Matthews.
Art from Just Ginger.
He's terrific.
He's such an amazing guy. So I went to stay by
Hout Bay now?
He lives in Hout Bay, yeah. he calls it the castle. He lives in like this. It's a castle, like a it's a house.
Yeah.
But it's shaped like a castle. It's really, it's got a turret and everything. Nice. It's ridiculous. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's so art. It's so art. But the funny thing was, I didn't have his. I've been there before, but I didn't have his full address. So I got him to drop me at the spa in Heart Bay.
Mm.
But you remember, I've just come off a ship. I've got a massive suitcase that I took the Rugby World Cup. It's branded Springbok Rugby, like this massive Samsonite bag, and my rucksack and everything. I'm standing at the spa. I'm like, I forgot Artie's in the, because he's got a thing of in the mornings he goes and climbs in the sea. In the morning, that's his thing.
That's what he does.
What do you call that thing?
He's such a hippie.
The something method.
Cold plunge.
Yeah, yeah.
Wim Hof method. Yeah.
So he does that. So I'm like, I got no way to get to his house. This guy's dropped me at the spa. So I Google, and then I start following my little Google steps. It takes me past Home Affairs. Past all these different oaks, like looking at this oak.
Dragging your bag around.
This massive suitcase and my rucksack. Where the day before I was in the yacht club, now I'm walking to Art's house.
But no one, okay, also, no one looks like Kurt Darren.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
People know who you are. All kinds of people. The guy who fills the car up. And now they're watching you like a schlub dragging your bag around.
It's Captain.
It's so embarrassing.
Captain. Oh, Captain. I'm like, oh, my
That'll
mother.
Humble you.
It does.
Yeah.
And it was a long 15 minutes. And when I got to Art's house, I was like,
schwitzing.
Yeah, like the sweat was dripping off my face. And I was like, what are you doing? I said, no, I just walked from the spa. He goes, why? I said, no, well, you obviously in the scene, he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Me dragging my case down Hope Bay Main Road.
Like, it looked like you'd been dropped by an alien ship.
Yeah. but you know, those are the kind of things I love doing because it just reminds you where you came from.
Keeps you in touch.
It's so lacking for me sometimes just to like, or when people don't recognize you.
Oh.
And everyone goes, yeah, is it quite that you're near at Kenya? I'm like, no. I really, really, it doesn't bug me at all. Although, I don't know. It's just like you say, you become jaded sometimes. Mm. You don't realize the value of what you got. But I think the way I've gone through my career and the friends that I've surrounded myself with, I don't really go through that a lot.
Mm.
I don't become jaded. I don't skip lines. It's like a weirdest thing to me to go and stand. And then everyone goes, never go. I said, no, I can't do that. Because you can just check all these people. They know exactly who you are. And they're going to go, they kind of expect you to be standing there.
Yeah.
Or to be going into that. Like, they kind of expect you.
Okay, but like, let's be fair too. Like sometimes
it is difficult.
At the airport or whatever, and you might be flying business overseas and other people are flying. You're not going to. Come on, Kurt. I mean, I'm not going to wait.
No, you're 100% correct there.
Just go there.
No, you're 100% correct there, but you will always still, if you don't feel something, it's like saying to me, you go hunting, and when you shoot that buck, you feel nothing. You understand what I mean?
Yeah,
it does nothing to you. It does. Yeah. It does, no matter what it is. Mm. So if you're in a line and you're walking to the front of the line, you do feel...
Yeah, you feel like an ass. But it's also something that you've now earned or you've paid for or someone has paid for you and you've got to go and do it. It's like, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
They're always going to... And sometimes you've flown an economy when other oaks have gone past you and you've known they're going to business and you can handle both, right?
It's hard.
There are hard things in the world. But you mentioned the bush earlier and hunting now, and I know, you know, these are things I love as well.
Yeah.
Hunting is something you can't really talk to everybody
about. Yeah.
The animal rights activists lose their minds, but that's a fun thing to do.
My wife's one of them.
Is she an animal rights
activist? Yeah, if I ever do and I go like once a year, I have to say I'm going camping.
You can't tell her the
just
truth.
Just to lighten the load a bit. After some going camping, I've got to tell you a very funny story that happened last year. So my son's only 7 years old. I mean, he can decide one day if he wants to go hunting or not. I mean, and I don't hunt a lot, but when I go, it's more about the fire.
Sure.
And the chats.
Yes.
And the driving and the adrenaline of walking and stuff like that. Fun. I love that. So I got a friend, Marco, in where I stay, and he's got this little son of 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And he grew up with guns. I don't even have a rifle or a gun. I really don't. But this guy did. He grew up with it. And we went they had like a father-son knipmes on where you go to the bush and there's like this ox on the braai, on the spit kind of thing, and each son and each father's got a knip mess, you know, a little flick knife, and you've got to cut your own meat off kind of stuff. But it was a hunting trip. So he says, ask Cade if he wants to go on this trip. And I said, my brother, there's no chance. My wife, there is absolutely no chance. So I go to my wife anyway.
You try.
And I say, my baby. So Marco invited us on this thing, and Gert's going to be there, and this guy's going to be there. She goes, yeah. No, she knows exactly what's coming. I mean, my wife studied psychology. She's got her master's in psychology. She knows exactly what's coming. So I said, well, maybe, because Cade is always, if I'm on tour, Cade's with his gran, his mother, and his sister. So maybe it'll be lucky of him to come to the bush with me just for. She's okay. Yeah,
being a guy.
She's okay. I'm okay with it. You can ask Cade. I'm okay with it, but he has the rules. He does not go on a bucky when people are shooting off. He does not walk when people are shooting. He says, you and him are going to spend the 4 days walking around the bush and
just
the fire and camping. Anyway, so we go. And on the third day, everyone around me, all my friends, have either got this vilibius or this Ipala or this or that. So by the third day, I've got a bit of withdrawal symptoms. I'm like, of the adrenaline. All I'm doing is walking around this game farm where Cade can't believe the amount of like bones he finds in the fields. He's like, yes, Papa, he's my honesty. I don't have the heart to tell him. Yeah, okay, well.
Someone's shooting
me. Yeah. And I, on the third day, we're driving in a Can-Am, the four-person Can-Am. I'm sitting next to Marco, Cade's behind me, and Donovan's next to him. And we're driving, and Marco's got his rifle with him, but we decide we're not going to shoot. It's just in case there's an aggressive Daco or something. But we're driving, and then about 200 meters away, we just see this herd of Impala just jumping over the road. And I just remember this has been 3 days of everyone around me. So I'm like, leave it. So I hear this little voice behind me, Papa, Skito. I'm like, oh, my mother.
That's cool.
And I look back. It gets worse. I look back and he goes, he just closes his lips.
He's
not going to tell mom.
He's not going to tell mom. So anyway, the deed happens.
Yeah.
And we're on our way back home, and Donovan and his dad decide they're going to go with the family to Monte Cassino and go and have a dinner there and what to do this and play games. I mean, I don't want to. I've had 4 days of the bush. I just want to get home.
Sure.
The Monday I was away again going somewhere. So I don't want to go to Monte Cassino. Mm. So we get home, and my wife and my daughter are at some kiddie's party, and they only can be home in an hour. And we're sitting the whole time. He's like, Papa, how does Monte Cassino do? No, it's not Monte Cassino. Kani, ik wil nie. So we've got, I said, lekker navig gehad? No Monte Cassino. And the whole time, for an hour long, Papa, gaan ons Monte Cassino? Nee. My wife walks in the front door. I'm sitting in the kitchen table, and Kay's between her and I. And he goes, and she walks in, and he goes, Papa, gaan ons Monte Cassino? And I go, no. He says, Mama, Papa, the book is skip.
Little shit.
He broke the bro code.
I hope you told him we're never doing anything cool.
No, listen,
again.
Hey.
You've ruined it, you little bastard.
He ran to the bathroom. He was like, oh, my mother. What did I just do? Yeah, and then he came and hugged me afterwards. I love it.
Never forgive him. Yeah. That child must learn.
It was a beautiful moment there.
Listen, what do you get to do in terms of like time off? You just said now you had this little weekend away, but mostly you're traveling during the week, weekends, you're recording. Do your family ever say to you, listen, it's time to stop? Because you also, in this business, you're booked for things all the time.
Yeah.
So if you're managing your career properly, and if someone else is helping you with that, you've got to do the stuff. You can't take like a 3 month break.
No, you don't. If you lose relevance, it's about staying relevant. Mm. If you lose relevance and you don't do interviews,
does it worry you that you?
No. I'm past that now. You know, I've been in the business long enough to kind of go. And obviously, you know, as you get older, there's a cycle and whatever. But I've kind of broken the rules in quite a few ways. Mm. When it comes, like my record company still says I'm their most streamed artist because of my history. Mm. So when streaming came along, I didn't have to worry about all the CD selling. Now the kids are learning my music that their parents used to listen to, and yeah. they're partying with it. If I go and sing in a place, it's a place in Pretoria called Putstall.
Yes. I was there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is like,
listen, no, don't laugh at me. I was there one yeah. night.
Recently.
I told you about yeah. it, right? I was at dinner with some friends, and then they all decided, no, we're going to go to this place. And I said, guys, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. This idea is only going to end one way.
Yeah, and this last minute decision thing.
And I actually really enjoyed it. I told you.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Did.
Bok van Blerk was playing.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen him live before. And it was actually quite wild. I mean, I've done a couple of parties where I've been in that Afrikaans music scene before. Yeah. But just as a normal yeah. member of the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a nice vibe with these people. Yeah. And they clearly party hard.
It's a party. You'll find a place like Inibos or those kind
that's
of festivals.
Nelspruit, right?
Yeah, you're singing to 50,000 people on a night. You go there, the amount of English people that turn up because they just love it.
It's a curiosity.
And not just English people, people of all races.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, they turn up there and they just go, we're having fun. This is amazing.
Well, one of our friends was black. I said to him, listen, are you sure you want to go to this place? He's yeah. like, no, he's been there before.
Yeah.
I said to him, well, I'm the one who hasn't.
Yeah.
Not like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, it's whatever you, and a lot of it's got to do with who you with.
Absolutely.
You know, if you with some great people that just want to have fun and just enjoy themselves and listen to some music, yeah, you're gonna have fun. If you go there with the wrong attitude,
yeah,
then you're not
going to
have fun. You know, it's going to be horrible for you. But I mean, it's a relatively safe environment.
And your wife is totally okay with the schedule that you have and the amount of time.
No, she's hundreds. She's part of my schedule.
She knew what she was getting into.
Patient woman.
Very patient woman, you know, and the way she works with the ship stuff and all that kind of thing, she's just got – no, it's just actually ridiculous the way she's built, her brain is built, because she handles everything from the kids' speeches at schools to their exams. Kai's grade 4 now, so she's got exams. Kai's only in grade 2, so he doesn't have exams yet. But the way she handles all that, the ship stuff, things that come in – I mean, I've got an office at home – but I've got someone that works in the office, but she will handle a lot of the stuff. And she just handles it like a champion. It's like the weirdest thing. I just, destiny just chose right for me, you know.
No, that's amazing.
We've been together for 20 years.
That's spectacular.
Married for 13. So oh, she's.
I remember there was like a lot of news coverage, and there was a lot of news around when you got married, and it was everybody was interested. And a lot of these show business careers, they don't always work out because with marriage.
Yeah.
Because there's often, like, you know, you get a lot of attention from other women. She's got to be so secure.
Mm.
Also, you go off on these gigs and things.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, the temptation is great. And for the wife, the anxiety is great. And it doesn't always lead to happy endings. You've got to be very, very professional about all of that too. She has to know that things are going to happen this way because she's seen it happen before her eyes.
So she knows deep inside that even before she came along, I treated my career very professionally.
Yeah,
you would never find me passed out backstage or doing whatever backstage with some other groupie. I would never ever get that name because that just wasn't part of my builder.
Yeah.
You know?
See, if Leanne was a star, she'd be.
Yeah, you'd be in trouble.
She'd be in trouble.
I always say I've got some friends. I've got some friends that I'm glad they're not singers, kind of thing. They're just naughty little shits. But I lead a very balanced life, you know, even being in the spotlight or whatever, it's like I lead a very normal life. Just
you have to.
Yeah.
You'll go crazy if you don't.
No, you will, of course. And if you start believing your own press all the time kind of thing, you're gonna really know your failings very, very quickly kind of thing. So I like I said earlier, I surround myself with awesome people, awesome. I mean, I've been with my record company for 25 years.
That's the same record company. That's pretty wild.
And that is not known in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
They just renewed my contract last year. I'd been with them, so they gave me this award last year.
But I'm sure you've made them plenty of money. Let's not look at it. It's not like you being loyal to them. They also, it's a good business relationship.
Look, yeah, anything should be symbiotic.
Sure.
As soon as it becomes parasitic, any kind of relationship, you're gonna see suffering from one of the sides. But our relationship has always been symbiotic. So the kind of percentage I get for my recording deal and my artist royalty deal is different to other artists, kind of thing, because they know what I brought over the years, and I know what they've brought to me over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have got on my own long ago as an independent artist, long ago, and I could do whatever and release it onto wherever. But I kind of know what's good for me, what keeps me going, kind of thing, where my brain must be at. I must be creative. I shouldn't have to worry about the little niggly things of
admin.
The admin stuff. And
the legal stuff.
I'll always have my finger. That's the weird thing. So you get sometimes the people don't realize you've actually got your finger on exactly what's happening when you're with your business yeah. accounts, with you. I know exactly what's happening, but I don't need to be involved there the whole time. Same as a record company. I know exactly where it is and how my career has been constructed and how it's going forward, kind of thing, you know? Like, I won't anymore really sing songs. When I write songs now, I don't sing about Ek Sinjo Dani Hoekie van die Dansvloer.
Yeah.
Ek wil jou.
So how do you change that now?
Hey Sinar.
Hey Sinar. So it's...
Because it won't be believable if I say I...
Yeah.
That's a small but very important distinction.
No, it is, but you also keep yourself believable. Yeah. Because it's
no one's gonna buy that you're busy checking out the chick in the corner.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, it's funny, someone says here in the comments, Carl says, does your wife ever say, don't be curt with me? I mean,
that's quite cool.
But I mean, like Los Sloppy and Captain, and because people shout these things out at you the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that ever irritate you just because you also evolve as an artist? These are your
songs. Many
years ago.
You know, I always joke, like on the ship, I did one show. I did four shows on the ship and on the book with. And I did one show where I didn't do Captain.
Ooh. Skander.
Jeez.
Those people wanted their money
you
back.
You rebel. It
was. They wanted their terrible. Money back. Terrible. Yeah, they must have been the Murrin with
I ended with a song, like a ballad called Ek Wens Vir Jou. Like, I wish for you that the sun will shine on your back. And then the people were like, and you know when you walk off the stage, everyone's like,
Vasons, Kaptein.
Kind of thing. But I'd sang it like three times already on the ship, you know.
So you were tired of it, but they
weren't. No, not tired of it. I just don't want to. Too much of a good thing.
No, I don't mean tired as in you're sick of the song.
Yeah.
But like Billy Joel, for example, says he just doesn't want to do She's Always a Woman anymore because he wrote that for Christie Brinkley when he was in love with her. And they're not in love anymore. They've got a kid together, but they're divorced. And he says it's just – he feels like it's not really – he can't do it the way that he used to.
Okay, so – the lyrics of Captain. Yeah, yeah, okay. So you know, I think I've said this to you before, but Captain was never going to come out. It was never going to be on it.
Tell everybody this story.
But I think a lot of people have heard me say, because it's an interesting story. I mean, my record company, Quercy and Adams, we were writing in Pinnacle Point. And we had kind of hit a bit of a barrier. We had got the whole album together and we felt we had great songs in there. And then Quincy was just standing by the window, and we always have a glass of red wine when we were writing.
Mm.
He was standing by the window and he went, and he saw a sailing ship down the sea going past Pinnacle Point. He said, "Skryf ons Kaptein Spanie Sailor."
Yeah.
And I went, weirdly enough, on the way down in the aeroplane, I'm talking to them now, on the way down the aeroplane, I'd written a thing in the plane called, like a fairy tale, Eendag lang gelede my drome, was daar 'n girl soos jy. And they said, okay, but carry on that. And I'd written the melody and everything. And we put those two together and we wrote Captain. And they were like, okay, this is quite cool. I went, oh no, I don't think it's a great song. We recorded the whole album. The whole album in Joburg. Called the whole album, sent it through to them in Cape Town for them to have a listen to. That was 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
6 o'clock, I was still at the studio, and Quercy phoned and said, "Where's that Spanie Sailor song?" And I said, "No, please, no, not that song." He said, "Why?"
You just didn't want it.
I said, "It's childish. You're singing about Daar was Macy's and bikinis, like things like that.
You thought Macy's and bikinis. Like, this is this is rough.
Like weird. I said it's like childish, you know.
Yeah.
I said okay, we'll do it, but don't put my name on the song. There's no, we have to. You. I said no, please don't. I said, and then we recorded straight after that, constructed and recorded, and the next morning at 7 o'clock he phoned me. He said, okay, you got two things are gonna happen here. You're gonna have the biggest song of your career so far. And you're going to have people calling you captain for the rest of your life.
Oh, my gosh.
And you were like, oh, my God, no.
I said, okay, I will put it on the CD if you don't call the CD captain. You know, in those days, you always called you called it captain.
The lead track.
Yeah. So the CD was called, something weird. I can't even remember the name of the CD because the song was, like, so unimportant.
That's gone away.
I can't even remember the name of the CD, but it was like his whole sentence.
Yeah.
And
this is the song.
The song came out. We first released another two songs before that. Standing on the Edge that I wrote for my wife. My to-be wife. Standing on the Edge and Blowback Strands Sonsak. Then they said, okay, can we now release Captain? And that was like in the March or whatever. I said, yeah, well, if you have to, release it. And then it just went haywire.
Wow. Because you never know what's going to be a hit.
Listen.
No one knows. There's nobody on earth.
No one can ever tell you this is going to be it. I'm sorry. It's up to the public to decide and the way their ears receive the song. You must know, eh? Captain gets played at every test match and every cricket, World Cup, cricket and everything. It's got nothing to do with sport.
Yeah.
Listen, it's that bad that on this last boat, the Bokboot. The guy that does the boat and he's the owner of a radio station. And he came to me and said, Kurt, but I could check his smile already. You know exactly. Something's going to come in his mouth. It's really weird. He says, Kurt, I've got a favor to ask you. I said, anything, Vimpy, anything. He says, okay, but it's going to be really like a bit weird for you. I said, no, anything. I'm used to weird. He says, there's a couple celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary and they want to renew their vows on the deck during the party. And they want the captain, which is you, to renew their vows.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful, but it's like, I'm not a captain. I'm not a real captain.
No.
I had to stand on the deck with all these actually costumes and their tropical dress and with this husband and wife and go, do you, Sorrel, take this wife for the next 30 years? That kind of vibe. It was the funniest. And everyone's like,
you see, I love that you brought this story up because it's the perfect way to actually pause this conversation for the next time. You didn't get paid extra to do that.
No.
You didn't have to do it. It's a bit weird and awkward, like you said, people in their Hawaiian shirts and then you are called up to renew the vows like a religious officer.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is exactly what you are. To so many people, you just bring them such happiness and your music does, and you're such a part of the culture that they think of you as being the captain, the priest, the entertainer, and the friend.
Yeah.
That's power, man.
No, you're 100%.
The friend.
That's important. That is really important.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see you.
Thank you so much. And this was a lot of fun, and it was worth the early morning drive.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. In the rain.
Listen, I discovered this amazing fuel stop. Yeah. Just I went to get coffee. Yes.
Did you grab a coffee?
Awesome. Listen, I'm sorry. So I was here about half past. If he says 2:15, I'm here half past.
Yeah. So he's a pro.
And then I stopped you at this deli stop up here on Rivonia Road. First thing you do when you walk and you smell all this fresh bread.
Oh, I know.
It's like, check, I'm getting cold shivers. Yeah. Mm. And the way they are, when this guy gave me my coffee, when I said, can I have a cappuccino, please? And he went, it's a beautiful day, best way to start it.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
This random guy working the
barista.
The barista. And he gave me this cappuccino. It's a beautiful day, best way to start it. And I was like, oh, wow.
You know what?
I will drive my wife here just to show her this place.
Yeah. You've got to do it. And at that time in the morning, there's something special about a bakery, right?
Yeah.
They often say that the smell of bread is one of the best things. If you want to sell a house, apparently you.
Yeah.
But I brought Leanne a coffee from there once, and she doesn't drink coffee, so it sat here and decayed.
Oh, that is so sad.
Pathetic.
It is
wow.
Sad.
So now I don't buy them for her anymore. There's Pumi on a Thursday. Yeah. I buy it for her. She's at least appreciative.
Yeah. So, Gareth, I'm at Potsdam on the 13th.
I'll come.
Oh,
if
wow.
you're not there.
Dude, I swear I'll come. What is the 13th? What
it's
is
a Saturday.
Okay, I can do that.
It's a Saturday. I can only sing on a Saturday. Eight. No,
that's not.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
coming up.
Yeah, I know that.
It's this Thursday.
It's this Saturday, yeah.
Your timing is immaculate.
This month's going already.
All right, I'll come. What the hell?
Okay, you do not stand in a queue. I'll organize your parking.
No, I don't need the special
100%.
I'm from Pretoria.
There you go. Listen, thank you so much. It's been so much fun.
It's so lucky to see you. And thanks for coming all this way and being with us this morning. Love it. All right, Kurt Darren, everybody. We will see you tomorrow, 6 a.m. Be good. Cheers. Bye.